It's Tuesday, August 11th. Here's what's happening in Northeast Indiana. The CDC is investigating a salmonella outbreak across 27 states, tracing it back to contaminated jalapeno peppers. A new victor has been crowned in the Senate District 23 race. And two Indiana women who participated in the January 6, 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol are suing the federal government. I'm Brianna Barrow, and this is Who and What. The CDC is investigating a salmonella outbreak across 27 states, tracing it back to contaminated jalapeno peppers. WFYI's Daniel Huber reports that, as of Friday, Indiana has recorded 6 cases of the infection.
The contaminated jalapenos were from Sinaloa, Mexico. Coast Citrus distributors delivered them to restaurants and other distributors. The peppers have since been recalled. Nicole Stone is the epidemiology director for the Indiana Department of Health.
We may still identify a few more cases, but again, the hope would be that by removing the food product, the most important step has been taken to prevent future illnesses.
Stone suggests people seek a medical professional if they believe they consumed the contaminated product. Salmonella symptoms include diarrhea, fever, and stomach cramps, and usually last 4 to 7 days. I'm Daniel Huber in Indianapolis.
A new victor has been crowned in the Senate District 23 race. WFYI's Ben Thorpe reports President Donald Trump-backed candidate Paula Copenhaver pulled ahead of incumbent Senator Spencer Deary in the tight race following Deary's rejection of redistricting.
After the May primaries, the initial count came down to a 3-vote difference, with incumbent Deary narrowly beating Copenhaver. But the Indiana Recount Commission rejected a number of ballots from both candidates for technicalities that included missing signatures. That put Copenhaver over the top. She says she's declaring victory.
My reaction is I'm ready for the general.
In a statement, Deary said the commission had undermined the will of Indiana's voters. He said he plans to appeal their decision. I'm Ben Thorpe in Indianapolis.
Two Indiana women who participated in the January 6, 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol are suing the federal government. As WFIU's George Hale reports, President Trump pardoned both women after returning to office last year.
Anna Morgan Lloyd and Donna Sue Bissey are among more than a dozen former January 6 defendants seeking damages for alleged mistreatment during prosecution. The women, both from Bloomfield and Greene County, were convicted on charges relating to the riot at the U.S. Capitol building after then-Senator Joe Biden defeated President Trump in the 2020 election. Trump pardoned them along with most January 6 defendants last year. The lawsuit filed in U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia seeks damages under the Federal Tort Claims Act for a variety of alleged violations. Morgan Lloyd claims insufficient legal representation. Bissey alleges medical negligence by the U.S. Prison Bureau. Both claim malicious prosecution for supporting Trump. The lawsuit seeks damages of no less than $1 million each, expungement of their records, and a declaration the U.S. government's actions were illegal. The government has not yet responded, but last week the U.S. Justice Department filed a motion to dismiss a similar lawsuit, arguing the statute of limitations on such cases ended years ago. For WFIU News, I'm George Hale.
Agave plants live for decades, grow to the height of telephone poles, then give out seeds in their last phase of life. This summer in West Lafayette at Purdue University, an agave plant entered its final stage of life, its death bloom. WFYI's Samantha Horton reports.
Towering above a greenhouse, the agave death bloom now stands at more than 45 feet tall. Initially brought to the university in the 1990s from Mexico, the succulent has been used in many classes, including anatomy and taxonomy courses. Purdue University Greenhouse Lab Coordinator Krista Caltabiano says the death bloom's flowering stalk has brought former students back to see the plant one last time.
The plant has been a pretty big staple in our permanent collection, and it's touched the lives of many people throughout its time here.
Once the agave plant completes its death bloom, the seeds will be used to plant new agaves. I'm Samantha Horton, in Indianapolis.
The agave plant has at least one more month in its life. People can visit the plant in person on Fridays from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Time and a few open houses on upcoming Saturdays. A live stream is also available online to watch. As June came to a close, Smith Green Elementary School students returned from Daytona, Florida, bringing with them a national championship title in archery. WBOI's Addie Sigler reports the 4th and 5th graders competed against schools from 45 different states, as well as a Canadian province.
The seemingly unorthodox sport has taken root in Cherubusco's public schools, allowing for an incredible dynamic between kids, parents, school faculty, and coaches to nurture the program within their community. J.R. Barron, an assistant coach and parent, proudly voices what the team's win means to Cherubusco.
Small town community like we are, and they've swept the whole country, right. Taking first place elementary team in both divisions.
The community gathered for a parade on a hot July Saturday afternoon to honor the students' hard work. Cheering families lauded the students as they drove by in a float, displaying their three large trophies. Head coach Toby Rice has been involved in the program for 10 years, inheriting it in its infancy.
I'm an archer through and through, used to compete on a national level, and now I can give back to this and the kids and teach them.
Rice is dedicated to the team and willing to recruit other members of the school community. That has proved to be only the beginning of Cherubusco's archery journey. The National Archery and Schools Program's main goals are to promote academic excellence, focus, and athletic ability among students through archery, prioritizing equity and friendship. Rice says archery is more than a sport.
This is a life skill. It is they can take this with them from now until the end of their life.
The level of involvement in the program from adults is also noteworthy. Parents and other faculty can take a certification course, ending in a coachship. Ryan Ratkowski became an assistant coach after witnessing his daughter's success on the team. He loves the determination it sparks in the kids.
You can see it in their eyes, like they're hooked. They want to do this.
As a parent, Ratkowski is conscious of the other ways archery has been a positive force in their lives. It is more than a way to be active.
Archery is a very mental sport, and it requires a lot of focus. And it translates really to the classroom immediately.
His daughter, Eliza, is a fifth grader from the championship team.
I did not see myself doing archery. I mostly saw myself probably staying at home, drawing and stuff. But I never saw myself doing archery, but now I see myself doing archery.
After honing these skills all year, Eliza and the team placed first in both bullseye and 3D shooting, which Rice says is rare.
To go to Florida, to Daytona, and win championship and win bullseye and 3D, which doesn't happen often for a team to go down there and win both.
Bullseye shooting is a classic accuracy competition, while 3D shooting tests the student's ability to mark moving animal targets. More than just a team sport, archery also allows for individuals to display their talents, and Cherubusco had students place and score highly in individual arenas as well. Eliza proudly reported that she would be attempting to compete as an individual in the upcoming season. The most important actors in Cherubusco's story are the kids themselves, and they provide more than just the adequate skill needed to win the tournament. Coaches and parents like Ratkowski praise the team's dedication, discipline, and focus above all else.
13 to 15 tournaments, and we start in October, and we went all the way through June. It's a long season. A lot of elementary kids aren't used to that yet. So them sticking it out and being able to persevere and keep the success was really awesome to see.
The school-wide program offers an optional after-school club, a further way to be involved. Xander Barron, 2-year competitor and son to one of the assistant coaches, says the number one thing archery has taught him is to
slow down and concentrate.
For WBOI News, I'm Addie Sigler.
Addie Sigler is an intern for WBOI. For more on this story, visit wboi.org/news. More news in a moment.
Sports. Support for WBOI comes from Heartland Sings, presenting their summer season, performing family-friendly music at Fort Wayne Parks, Sundays at 3 p.m. Heartland Sings, changing lives through song. Details at heartlandsings.org/events.
Here's what to know for today. The Allen County prosecutor will not charge anyone in connection with the May 13th death of Anita Ann Grayson inside a Fort Wayne Tim Hortons restaurant. A federal court blocked the state's investigation of an Indiana immigrant support organization. And Governor Mike Braun quickly appointed a replacement after firing Andy Zay from the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission. That's who and what for Tuesday, August 11th. These stories and more can be found at WBOI.org or on the WBOI app. Subscribe to Who and What on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can ask your smart speaker to play Who and What. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll also enjoy our newsletter, Frequency, at wboi.org/frequency. Music for Who and What is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. From all of us at WBOI, thanks for being with us and have a great rest of your day.